Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
All right, now we bring in another person I'm close with, Nathan Zagura. He joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nathan, how the hell are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Nathan,
we're doing
help us
wonderful.
Out. Help us out. I'm guessing you have never gone for a job interview as a prospective applicant for a position where you have had in the interview to sit next to another guy, another finalist for that interview. How bizarre must this dinner have been between Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter with Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry?
I definitely actually probably have when I was applying to McKinsey back in the day. I definitely was on dinners where it was the people that were at that moment. The difference there was I didn't know them. I don't think it'd be awkward for them at all. They're friends.
Yeah, but don't they? Friendly. Aren't they competitors?
Enjoy the experience.
Yeah, but Lyman and I tried to play it out how it would be earlier in the show. We actually got into a shouting match with each other.
So we didn't do well. We didn't get picked. Yeah,
no, I don't think. I mean, I think they're both rooting for each other. And the way that it is now, they both know that, well, in the case of Travis Hunter, for sure, he knows he's going early. I think he would love to see Shador go early as well. They're going to get good money there. And it's not like the old days where if you were that first pick or the second, it was so much different. You know, it's all slotted. So, no, I think that they're probably both happy for each other. I don't think they're looking at it like that way. I think if it was Shador and Cam Ward, that would be different. They don't play the same position. So I don't think it's, no, not an issue to me.
Nathan Zagura joining us here. You're a fine man. Do you still believe what you said earlier about a month ago that with the Browns' first choice that they have, they're going to take a quarterback, or have you moved off that now?
I mean, if there is a quarterback that they had conviction about, mm-hmm. I think they absolutely would and should take a quarterback. If they don't, I don't know. It's interesting how a lot of the narratives have changed on people, and one of them obviously was at that dinner last night, Shador Sanders, when he hasn't played football. You know, there are a lot of people that, and we've had people on our show recently who think he's a top five, like it's a no-brainer, run the card up, take him at number two. Emory Hunt, you know, who famously, I think one of his big ones is 2018, had Lamar as the best quarterback in that class, which nobody had, and that looks pretty good right now. But, you know, we've had people who say, yeah, you absolutely take Bucky Brooks. Take him right there. It's a no-brainer. And then there are other people that they don't see it as much with him and think he's maybe like a late first-rounder or an early second-rounder. So if there's a lot of variance there, my belief is this. If you think that in your organization, this quarterback can be a top 16 quarterback in the NFL, he's absolutely worth taking with the second pick. If you don't believe that, then he's not. And the crazy thing is about a month ago, too, Kenny, you have to remember, coming out of the combine, nobody thought Tennessee was taking a quarterback. Normally we go to the combine and you get really good information. Really good information, like that Herbert was going to the Chargers, Daniel Jones was going to go to the Giants, Kyler was going to be that number one overall pick. It was a no-brainer. This year, the two things that came out of the combine that were locks were that the Titans were not going to take a quarterback with the first pick overall and that the Browns were going to take a quarterback with the second pick. And now it appears as though the Titans are going to take Cam Ward at number one. And there seems to be a lot of uncertainty about what the Browns are going to do at number two. And I said it all along. There are five boats. You either trade up to one to get Cam Ward, or you call the Titans bluff if it truly is a bluff, and they stay there. They take whoever they take. You get Cam Ward at two. You take Shador at two. That would be the second one. Third one would be you take Travis Hunter at two. The fourth is you take Abdul Carter at two. And the fifth is that you trade out of that pick. That's really kind of – that's it. Those are the scenarios right now for the Cleveland Browns.
Nathan Zagura, what – analysis he just provided us.
That was awesome.
Incredible.
Thank you.
So, Nathan, with all of that said, we've gotten a bit of a disagreement on this show about what happens if there is some big time free falling in the draft, some slippage, if you will, for Shador Sanders, and he starts to go and go and go. Then do the Browns trade back up, or does that constitute a lack of conviction and now you're playing with fire?
So I often think, so you're talking about trading back up, right?
Correct.
And what does that look like? If you're going, let's say, from 33 to 20, that's probably going to cost, it's obviously going to cost you 33. Does it cost you 67? Does it cost you 67 and something else? And so I like it if it were not an expensive move, because then you say to yourself, oh, man, maybe we get Travis Hunter at two, and then we come back and we're able to pair him with Shador Sanders and got familiarity. I love that. I think that'd be a great outcome if you came away with both of them. But if you're going to end up giving up 33, 67, let's call it, and maybe your other third round pick, if you're willing to give up three picks and really two additional players at you know, valuable pick positions for the quarterback, just take them at two, right? I mean, that's the way I look at it.
So
I don't know about kind of that.
I said that yesterday, Nathan. I got killed. I'm sorry. I just want to agree with you, and I want to hug you, because you just explained it the best way. Like, if you like him that much, then take him. Now I'm talking myself back into him, and I'm paying more. I've made it a more expensive draft choice to take a guy who I might not have been sure enough to take at number two overall, the most important position.
Here's the thing for me, honestly. If you don't have a conviction about a quarterback early in this draft, it just historically has been kind of a fool's errand to take a quarterback. You know, once you get out of this, even in the second round, we're talking just like recent history. You know, you look around the league, the starting quarterbacks are all first-round quarterbacks. I think we can name the non-first-round quarterbacks off the top of our heads on one hand. You got Brock Purdy. You've got Dak Prescott. So you've got, we'll see if James, I'm going to count Jameis as the starter there just because it's more fun, and I know we're going to talk about that in a second. You've got second-rounders Carr. You've got, who am I missing? I'm missing another second rounder. Jalen Hurts. There could be one other. It's like five or so quarterbacks that are not first round draft picks that are starting in the NFL, because I'm going to assume Cam Ward starts in Tennessee.
Really?
That's the league. And then here's the other thing. And this is the debate that I've been getting into. And I don't know if you guys came across, they posted a clip of this on social media from Browns Daily. Just, we need to figure out how to score the football. And so in my mind, this draft, we've been given like the life raft with the number two pick. Now, the only way kind of out of our big overall, like big picture mess, is to draft a rookie quarterback and have him be good on that rookie contract. That gets us through 27, and then in 27, we're going to have a lot of money to spend. But the big picture is, over the last 5 years in the National Football League, since the draft, or since the playoffs have expanded to 14 teams, so seven per conference, if you finish in the top seven in scoring, one stat, you finish in the top seven in points for in your conference over the last 5 years, you had an 83% chance of making the playoffs. An 83% chance if you're just one of the top seven scoring teams in your conference. That's true across both conferences. If you're a top seven defense, it goes down to about 60%, which is still good, still better than 50-50, but it is not the strong correlation that if you can score the football, you can go.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go to the playoffs. The Browns were the worst scoring team in the NFL. So I look at this number two pick and I say to myself, we have an opportunity to either get a quarterback we really like or the best non-quarterback offensive player in this draft. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to be the top defense year after year. The rules are against being a defense. That doesn't mean you don't have a defense. But the reality is right now, you could roll out a defense as the Cleveland Browns right now that'll be top half of the league. It will. Your starters will be Miles and Isaiah McGuire. You'd have Malik Collins next to Mike Hall. Your linebackers, hopefully JOK, but if not, Hicks and Devin Bush. Your nickel would be Greg Newsome, MJ Emerson, Denzel Ward. You have Delpit and Hickman. You can roll that out right now and feel pretty good about it, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, you would.
On the offensive side, you can't. You can't. You need right now, today, two quarterbacks. You need two running backs. You probably need two receivers, and you certainly need at least one tight end and maybe even a tackle. So you have significant needs on the offense. And so when I think about it from that standpoint, in a draft that's loaded at running back, which means you could probably get one really a great one at 33 or maybe even a great one at 67, it's loaded at tight end. That really helps you out. It's not as loaded at receiver, which makes 33 probably a better spot to get a receiver should an Abuka or a Luther Burden, somebody like that, fall to you. You have an opportunity, I think, in this draft in your first four picks to get a quarterback, to get a running back, to get a receiver, to get a tight end, to get weapons, to help you score. Do you know that last year the Ravens scored more than double the points the Cleveland Browns did?
My God.
Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
A staggering stat, but it is true. Here's another one for you. Do you know what the average points for a playoff-winning team was last year over the course of the entire playoff run? What the average score of the team that won a playoff game was? 31.8 points. This is an offensive league, and the Cleveland Browns have an opportunity to turn an offense around. Now, I would go out right now today. This is just me, and you guys might kind of roll your eyes at this. I'd sign Nick Chubb today. I'd sign Elijah Moore today, and I'd sign Jed Wills today. And I'd bring in Joe Flacco.
I'm glad you
and
said
we have a rookie. We have Flacco. You got Pickett.
I'm the glad you said that in that order. I'm sorry.
Familiarity.
Yeah.
What?
I'm glad you said it in that order. If you would have started with Jed Wills, everybody would have turned the radio off. I agree with you.
Well, here's the thing. Nick Chubb, first of all, right, obviously the market that he was hoping to be there isn't there.
Uh-huh.
I think not only would it be great for the fan base, you give him a chance to cut the 2-year injury, to come back, give him some incentives. I think it's great for everybody, right? Nick Chubb's back. Elijah Moore, 60 catches a year, certainly knows this offense. I'm not saying he's a game changer, but clearly you'll be able to bring him back at a relatively good value, knows your offense, gives some stability, and then opportunities where he had games where he was put in more of a featured role. He did very well. And I just think it's good stability in that position. It allows you to not necessarily have to force in the draft. When you go to Jed Wills, the fact of the matter is the guy's 25 years old, started almost 60 games. Has he been great? No. Have there been issues? Yes. But I would say this. This, to me, I'd sign him on a one-year, basically nothing deal. It's a prove-it deal. There's no market, it appears. Otherwise, he'd be signed somewhere. He's still a talented guy. And I think a lot of the questions with Jed Wills are, what do you want this to be for you as a career? And we've seen various players in the Browns who have left the Browns, been humbled. I'll take Baker Mayfield for an example. He's thriving in Tampa Bay. And he even said, you've heard many interviews recently, like, I needed to hit rock bottom. I needed to mature. I needed to get myself together and get focused and make this a priority. And now he's played very, very good football the last 2 years, and I'm happy for him. Jed Wills still has that kind of talent. So maybe this has been the humbling moment. For me, it's just a free lottery ticket, and it also eliminates potentially, you know, a need that you must go with in the draft. So I think those are some little things you can do, position yourself for the draft, and then load up on offense. Because if we can't score, we're not going to be able to win. We're talking about going in a division where you've got to be able to beat one of the best scoring teams in the league in the Baltimore Ravens, and another one of the best scoring teams in the league in the Bengals. Bengals, by the way, were the one team out of the top seven scoring teams in the AFC last year that did not make the playoffs. Nobody wanted them in the playoffs, even though their D was bad, because they can score. And I think that, to me, that's got to be the mindset for this Cleveland Browns organization. Going into a draft with these assets, we have got to find a way that we can be a competitive offensive football team. I think the days of being like, we're going to just, you know, dominate them on defense and we're going to win 17-13, that doesn't happen. There wasn't a single playoff win last year where a team didn't score 22 or more points. They averaged 31.8. Of the top four scoring teams in the league, they've been three of the final four each of the last 2 years. Like, we're talking conference championships. That's the league. It's people want it. Let's load up the defense. And it's just too hard. The rules are against you. It's just too hard. We have to be able to score to be able to win consistently.
I love this passion. Nathan, I love it. Can I throw one theory before we let you go?
Yes.
If I were Jimmy and I'm having dinner with a quarterback prospect, I'd call the restaurant. I'd call the restaurant. I said this to Lima at 7 o'clock. I'd call the restaurant early and have them mess up the order on purpose. And you don't want to know why?
Why?
I want to see the quarterback, if he corrects the problem, and then how he treats the people who he needs to correct the problem. I want to see leadership and whether or not he's willing to correct even the most mundane of things.
So my question to you is, when you say get his order wrong, so are we talking like if he ordered a steak and he wanted it medium rare, you're saying bring it out well done and see what he does? Or are you saying like if he ordered the lobster, bring him a pork chop?
Nathan, how does he operate in chaos? That's the question.
Yes. I want to know. I want to know what he does.
I care a little bit more about because chaos on a football field, but I like it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I want a quarterback who knows what he wants and is willing to tell a wait staff what he wants. But I also want him to treat them with respect because he's a rookie, and so you need to go in and tell veterans how you're going to run this offense with you at the helm of it. So Joel Bitonio, you're going to have to talk to him. You're going to talk to Joel Bitonio like a grown man. You ain't going to sit there and go, "How hard is your job?" You're not going to do that. You're going to talk to people with respect. I want to see how it's done.
Well, Ken, I'll tell you this. If you were the owner of an NFL franchise, I mean, I may be in my mid-40s. I can still sling the ball a little bit, and I would absolutely ace your restaurant test. I would make darn well sure I got the meal that I wanted, and I would do it in a very kind and respectful way.
And I would also put you into a game late in the season if we were out of the playoffs because I'm a carnival barker, and I want people to be entertained.
But Nathan, if it were the Bengals.
The end of a preseason game, that was the dream. We don't need to go in the regular season.
Nah, I'd do it in the regular season. Hell, they wanted to trade a third-round pick yesterday for Joe Milton over a game he had at the end of the regular season. Maybe I could spin you for a fifth. I don't know.
Nathan, I was just thinking if it were the Bengals confronted with the exact same scenario, they would end up just leaving the players with the tab. See how they handle that. Because that's how it's going to be here in Cincinnati.
And it sounds like they would tell them that they should have been happy. They should, well, you guys
right.
should be happy. You should be happy with what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an interesting scenario, to be sure.
Nathan, thank you so much for the time. All the best.
All right, you got it, guys.
Then they'll just tell him, oh, we're just going to a different restaurant.
Yeah, right across the river. Going to that one. Send that to Rapine and Egger.
There's a restaurant in Covington we're going to go to.
Send that to those hacks in Cincinnati, or who's the new morning show host?
Don't worry about it.
I don't know his name.